Good morning, church. All right. How's everyone doing this morning? It's great. Great to be here with you this morning and have the opportunity to share what I feel like the Holy Spirit's been laying on my heart and processing with me as I studied and read through the Matthew 5 several times over the course of the last few weeks and just kind of figuring out what does the Holy Spirit want me to share with you this morning. And so we're excited to continue this series in Matthew. We're really doing this long, slow study of the book of Matthew. So if you've been with us for the first few weeks, welcome back. If you're here for the first time, we're glad you're here. And we're going to be really in the book of Matthew all of summer and into the fall. And we're excited to see where God teaches us and what we get to lean into and how we get to grow together as a community of believers. Through God's word. The message says this, and sometimes I like reading the message just for different verbiage and a different way of reading the passages. It says this: Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out God flavors of this earth. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning to bring out God flavors to this earth. And as I read that passage this week, I couldn't help but think about someone who throws a large piece of meat on a smoker, right? And the intention of smoking meat is to really get flavor and really have something that tastes pretty good. And so my goal right now is to make you all really hungry and have your mouth start watering and thinking about what you're eating for lunch. So hold on for a few minutes and we'll get there. But as I was thinking about this illustration, you know, you could take a piece of meat and just throw it on the smoker and just put it in there and let the smoke do its job, and it would come out okay, probably, but it wouldn't be as good as those who take the time to take that salt seasoning and rub it on and cover it really well, and that salt and that seasoning permeates through the meat and it tenderizes and it just makes this brisket or whatever you're making just real juicy and flavorful. And that's the illustration of what Jesus is saying here. When we enter the world, we're this salt seasoning, bringing God flavors to our communities, to our workplaces, and we get to permeate this God flavor into our community, our culture, and we get the opportunity to be something that is very unique, different, and flavorful. In the message, he also says this: here's another way to put it. So he gives two illustrations. You are here to be light, bringing out God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with it, as public as a city on a hill. And so here it is, you know, we have this thought that brings out this flavoring of God and light that brings out God colors. And as we enter our daily lives, we go into our workplaces, our schools, we carry this light, and it brings this light of Christ into our communities, and it brings God colors into the world. And so there's this imagery of this light that we carry. And so I love the word pictures that are in the message on these two passages. This morning, as I said, we're in week 5 of this Matthew series. It's really, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, chapters 5 through 7. And so I just get the opportunity to speak a little bit about 5 verses 13 and to the end of the chapter. And so if you have your Bibles, you can start turning there. But what I find interesting is Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount is really teaching us what it means to follow him, what it means to be called and be set apart as kingdom people. I'm going to use this word kingdom people throughout this message this morning because I think that it's this classification of who we are as followers of Jesus. We have kingdom mindset, and we're looking to bringing people into the kingdom and building God's kingdom. And if you read Matthew and the parables of Jesus, you recognize that so often when Jesus is talking and telling parables, he's kingdom mindset. He's focused on the kingdom and where he's going and taking people with us. And so as kingdom people, we are set apart to follow him and be what he's called us to be. These verses this morning really call us to next level living. It's a living that is set apart, different than the people around us. We are going to be city lights on a hill, city that is lit so bright that people are going to see the uniqueness and the difference in who we are, because we are kingdom-minded people. We're going to influence the world in a unique way with the salt flavoring that we carry on our daily lives. Before we turn to Matthew 5, verse 13, I just want to turn our thoughts and minds over to Jesus in a word of prayer. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to gather here this morning to worship freely and openly, to express our gratitude to you through song. And now as we open your word, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would allow your word to permeate our lives and teach us, and may we be open and receptive to what you want us to learn. We each come into this room this morning with different thoughts and different burdens, and we ask that you would just allow us again to lay them aside for a few moments so we can really focus on what you want us to hear this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take the words this morning that are coming from my lips and use them as an offering. And may they not be my own words, but may they be words that you've given to this community. And may we learn and grow from them. God, we surrender this time to you, and we ask that you would ultimately receive the glory and honor through it. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we dig into Matthew 5, verses 13 and to the end of the chapter, or close to the end of the chapter, I really looked at this section and really broke it down into 4 points. And so each section is kind of going to get a different point. And so the first point, the first statement I want to make about what Jesus is teaching here is that kingdom people are salt in a decaying world. Kingdom people are salt in a decaying world. Matthew 5, 13 says this again, "You are salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." See, in the context of when Jesus is saying these words, he's preaching to a large crowd of people, his followers and scribes and Pharisees. He would have been speaking to people that didn't have a refrigerator. They didn't have an ice box or something to keep meat cold and fresh. And so when he started talking about salt, they would have recognized that salt was used as a preservative, right? They would put their meat or fish or whatever meat it was in salt to slow down the decaying process. It allowed the meat to last a little longer. And so salt for them was an antidote to the decaying meat, right? So the meat would decay, it would rot, salt would prevent that from happening. And so Jesus is saying, as followers of him, we are an antidote to the decaying world. The world is decaying and dying around us, and we have the opportunity to be the salt in this world that brings a tasteful flavor to our community. Yet we have a tendency to lose our saltiness. We have a tendency to kind of conform and kind of be like the rest of the world. We want to just blend in and not be set apart. And in doing so, we lose our saltiness and we become good for nothing, it says in the passage, right? We lost our saltiness and it can't be restored, so we're thrown out. So in our following Jesus, we need to strive to maintain a saltiness, a flavorful uniqueness about our lives that brings this ability to be a preventative of the decaying world around us. An example of how we can remain salty in our lives is through how we talk, the language you use, the words we speak to people around us, our coworkers, our friends, our family. An example of this is in the Colossians 4, 6, kind of speaks to this language we use, and it says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each other." And so if we're seasoning our language or our words with salt, we're going to communicate in gracious, loving ways. We're going to speak to people in a way that is going to be different than the world. It's going to be different than the culture around us. It's going to change the way we post things on social media and how we interact online with others. Kingdom people are salt in a decaying world. This past weekend, a week ago, I had the opportunity to be with a group of young adults in North Philly. And we were living out kind of some of this bringing salt to a decaying world, but also being light in a dark place. And so there's a few pictures. There's a group picture there, and a couple others will pop up. And as we went to North Philly, we partnered with Urban Center, which is an organization we've worked with in the past. And we, along with a bunch of other organizations in Philly, did what I would call a Jesus parade. We met on the corner of Kensington Ave and Allegheny Street, K&A. If you've been to K&A, you know that this is a high drug area. Homeless people all over the streets, and drug usage is very very bad in that area. Probably known as one of the worst areas in the United States. And so we gathered as a group of people, and we start this parade going down the street. There was a trailer, and they had a worship band playing music and singing praises. And really the goal, as I see it, it was this, we were bringing light to this dark place. Each stop, I think there was 10 stops along the way, we would stop and play some music and read some a passage of scripture and then pray for the community. As we walked along, we picked up trash and we prayed for homeless. You can see some of the students, some young adults praying for the people. Again, being a light in a very dark, decaying place, not very far from Mannheim. I was asked to read a passage of scripture and pray at one of the final stops, and I opened up the little piece of paper, and it was Matthew 5, verse 14. I was like, okay, Jesus, I hear you. I'm preaching about that in a week, and here I am in North Philly, and you're saying, read this passage, and you are the light of the world, city on a hill. Brings me to my point number two, the kingdom people are light shining in a dark world. Last weekend, we were a small light, a light shining in this very dark world, and the goal was to spread the name of Jesus to people who desperately need to know who Jesus is. Verses 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So what does Jesus mean by saying you're a city on a hill? I think it means that we're not going to be private Christians. We're not going to be like closed in, behind doors Christians, hiding our lights. No, we're going to be allow our light to shine bright in our communities, in our workplaces. We're going to go public with what it means to be a follower of Christ. We're going to allow people to see that we are kingdom people. We are set apart as followers. We are not the same as everyone else in the world. We are carrying the light of Christ in us. I read this passage, and it's hard for me not to sing the song. What is it? Can you sing with me? Because I'm not very good at singing. Kid song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Okay, now verse 2. "Hide it under a bushel." Okay, listen. When you were kids in VBS, as little kids, you screamed a lot louder than that. And I know you're able to. Okay, "Hide it under a bushel now." Thank you. Thank you. All right, and this is why I'm not leading worship on Sunday mornings. All right. But as we teach our kids this, right? We sing the songs in VBS. At least I did when I was a kid. Maybe they don't anymore. But we teach them, listen, you don't hide your light. You allow it to shine. You don't put it in under a bushel and be private about it. You want people to know that you're carrying this light. Because we know the impact a single light has on a dark room. We know the impact a single believer in a dark community can have on their neighbors if they're willing to allow that light to shine. I was thinking about how when you have little children and you're tucking them in at bed at nighttime and they're scared of the dark, they're like, "Mom, Dad, I'm scared." What do? You turn on a night light. Because that light breaks through the darkness and it brings peace, it brings calm, it brings something to that room that wasn't there when it was just dark. We have the ability to carry this light of Christ because Jesus is the light. And we choose to follow him. We have him in our life. We then are carrying his light into the world. And John 1:1-14 really speaks to Jesus being the light. In the beginning, the Word And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It says here that John came as a witness of the light. He wasn't the light, but he came as a witness. He bore witness to Jesus who was coming, and Jesus came and died on a cross, and in him, believing him, we now have the opportunity to be witnesses of that light as well. As we go out into our world, we bring the light of Jesus to our neighbors. John 8:12, Jesus reiterates this idea that he is the light of the world. And it says, Jesus spoke again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, we are the light of the world. Kingdom people should not hide their light. If we hide our light, we provide no benefit to the dark world we live in. Don't be private with your light. Let it shine like a city on a hill. Jesus continues this, with the Sermon on a Mount with this idea, point number three. Jesus, our kingdom people, recognize why Jesus came. So we read God's word, we see what Jesus did, and we recognize, okay, this is why he came. And in verses 17 to 20, really, I believe we're kind of an interpretive key to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. We read the Sermon on the Mount as we dig in over the next few weeks. We're going to see Jesus presents a lot of some really real truths that sometimes are hard to kind of take in. And I'm like, wow, do we got to do that? That's tough. But Jesus says, okay, listen, you've been given all this, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and Jesus, he didn't come to take it away or erase it or abolish it. No, I came to fulfill it. I came to bring it into fulfillment. So in verses 17 to 20, Jesus says this, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, right, coming and saying, okay, listen, you've been given the law, you've been given the prophets, you've read it, all of the Old Testament, this is what you've been learning and studying. The scribes and Pharisees have been making sure that they're following the rules the way they think they're supposed to. And Jesus, okay, listen, you think I came to like erase that? I came to overthrow rulers and do things? No, actually, I'm coming to bring it all to fulfillment. I'm coming to bring clarity to it and help you understand what it means to really follow the Old Testament. And when we read scripture today, like, we have the whole book, the whole Bible, and we don't just take pieces. We don't just go to the New Testament and say, this is it. No, we say, we open it all up and say, listen, this is the story of what God has done for us. It brings clarity to Leviticus and all those Old Testament books that are like, it's hard to understand. Okay, Jesus came to fulfill that. He came to bring clarity and understanding of what it really means to be set apart as a follower of Christ, as a kingdom person. We continue with point number four. Really, kingdom people strive for next level living. kingdom people strive for next level living. Jesus continues. He says, okay, this is why I came to fulfill the law. And now we're going to talk about some of the law, some of the rules that you look at and try to live by. And Jesus challenges the listeners, the disciples, and the followers to be living in a next level way. Kind of go beyond kind of the easy version of following the rules, the simplest version of what you read scripture to be. No, we're gonna lean in a little bit deeper. Most of the scribes and Pharisees, they were like, okay, we can just follow the rules, check it off, and we're good. And so Jesus go over the next few past verses. Really talks about six different things, and we're going to just do three this morning. Three, not six. So I encourage you to do the other three on your own in small group and spend some time really digging into what Jesus is saying in the other three. So we're going to just dig in. And so Jesus starts each statement with, you have heard it said. So really looking back to Old Testament, law and prophets. Okay, you've heard it said this. This is what you've learned. But now I'm going to like fine-tune it a little bit. And say, okay, this is how I want you to live as a kingdom people. Matthew 5, 21 to 26, he starts with anger. Nothing, we don't ever deal with anger in our lives. It says, you have heard it that said of this, of those of old, you should not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Okay, simplest version of the command, thou shalt not murder. Most of us can easily agree with that and say, okay, that's good. We're good with that. But he leans in. He's okay, next level, right? But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is addressing commandment number six, do not murder. But Jesus is emphasizing a different way of living. It's more than just murdering someone. It's if you're angry, that your heart attitude towards that person, we need to check that. If you have malicious feelings towards someone, check that. Because there's a direct connection with our horizontal relationships with people and our vertical relationship with Jesus. So if there's something going on between me and my friend, or I'm angry at someone, that anger gets in the way of my relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus is saying, hey, listen, if you realize you have something against a friend, or there's anger, there's something going on here, reconcile there. As a follower, reconciliation with that person is going to be a primary goal, and we're going to make things right here so that in order that that's right, then I can have intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so there's this connection between horizontal and vertical relationships and the importance of making sure our relationships with those around us are in alignment. And as kingdom people, we're going to have clear conscience about how we treat other people. We're not going to be angry. We're not going to allow things to get between us. As kingdom people, we strive to maintain healthy relationships with all people. And when a relationship is broken, we desire to reconcile. Next level living means that we're not going to post hateful comments about the person we don't like or a situation we're angry about. Jesus goes on, second one, he addresses lust. Matthew 5, 27 to 30, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body is thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Do not commit adultery, the seventh commandment. Baseline, don't commit, don't do the act of adultery. And Jesus saying, okay, we're going to lean in. We're going to go beyond just the act of adultery. We're going to like talk about our hearts, talk about the thoughts we have in our heads and those lustful things that go on in our minds on a daily basis that we want to address, because that's sinful. It's more than just immoral actions. It's immoral thoughts that are sinful. The question is, what are you willing to do to stop yourself from having lustful thoughts? Pornography is a huge stumbling block for many people. Are you willing to cut off the pathways that pornography enter your day-to-day lives? Jesus uses this extreme metaphor, right? Cut off your hand, tear out your eye. I don't think we need to mutilate our bodies. But are we willing to do the extreme thing in order to prevent ourselves from going down a lustful path that allows sin to enter our lives? Are you willing to delete your social media apps? Yeah, I said it. Delete your social media apps. It's not culturally something we do. That's living a set-apart life. It's living a life that is not blending into culture and losing your saltiness. So actually, no, I'm going to live at a higher standard. I'm going to do things that are not norm because I want to allow my life to permeate the world in a different way. Do you have a boundary on your cell phones or computers so that they're not in your bedrooms or in private places so that you don't allow that entry level into your life? Setting yourself up for a win, not a failure. Are you willing to change your vacation destination? Because when you know when you go to that destination, you're going to linger a little longer than maybe you should at the people that are around you. This next level living is putting yourself in a place where you're allowing those lustful thoughts to not even enter your life. It may be radical, but kingdom people strive to live next level lives, set apart, that are salt and light in a dark and decaying world. It may take doing some extreme things in order to live this out on a day-to-day. The third thing Jesus addresses is divorce. Matthew 5:31-32, it was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of a sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus is calling his followers to have a higher standard for marriage. He's calling us up. Okay, marriage is a covenant that's made between a husband and a wife. And we don't take the easy way out when it gets hard. In the context of when Jesus is communicating to these people, the religious people would have been easy way out, like writing divorce certificates because, oh, it's easy. We just go out, no big deal, we can do this. And Jesus is like, no, we don't live that way as kingdom people. As followers of Christ set apart, we're going to put a high standard on how we view marriage. And we recognize that there's very limited options for divorce. It's a different perspective than the world. It's different, looking at marriage very different than the culture looks at it. As kingdom people view marriage very differently. As I was reading and processing these three things, and then the other three as well, as I was processing them, I had this image of an old school radio, right? One with knobs and an AM/FM radio that you'd have to fine tune the knobs, and in order to get the clear station, you had to just turn it just right. If you go a little too far, it'd be fuzzy. Go a little too far the other way, it's fuzzy. And I think what Jesus is doing here, he's like, we're going to fine-tune what it really means to follow Jesus. We can be pretty close, and we can hear the songs, but there's a little bit of fuzziness. And Jesus, okay, let's just turn the knob a little bit. It may not be easy. It may be hard to align and do what Jesus is calling to do. But as kingdom people who are salt and light to this dark and decaying world, we're going to fine-tune our lives in a way that allows us to be city on a hill, public about our relationship with Jesus. So as set apart followers of Jesus, we are going to be this. We're going to be kingdom people who are salt in a decaying world, Kingdom people who are light shining in a dark world. Kingdom people that recognize why Jesus came. And kingdom people who strive for next level living. You pray with me. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just the opportunity to dig into your word. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would convict us of those areas that we need to fine tune. Recognize that we each come in with unique life circumstances, and it's not always easy to follow you 100%. And so, God, we ask that today that we would make intentional decisions to cut off those pathways that allow things to come in our lives that are moving us away or allowing us just to kind of blend into the world. And God, we ask that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, work in us and allow us to be kingdom people who are set apart as followers of you, that are going to be salt and light of this world, in this world, that we recognize that you came for a reason, and we're going to go out into the world and share that with others because you want others to know who you are. And our next level of living is going to be something that attracts people to us and like, okay, you're different, and why is that? And God, as a church, we ask that we would be that as we go into our workplaces and our schools and our neighborhoods, and Holy Spirit, use us as salt and light. And God, I ask that now for anyone in this room that maybe hasn't made that personal commitment to follow you, that they would be nudged, they would recognize that their need for you is great, and that you are the hope they're looking for, and they've been striving after all the wrong things, and it's only in you that they get the freedom that they're looking for. And God, we're grateful for your son, Jesus, who came to the earth to die on a cross for our sins, and all it takes is for us to say, we believe, and we get to be in relationship with you. And so I pray for those in this room who maybe haven't made that decision, that they would take that step today and follow you. God, thank you for the freedom you give and the ability to be the salt and light of the world. Just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.